The Veteran Next Door. Here's your host, Randall Baxter.
Happy Thanksgiving. You listen to The Veteran Next Door, and I'm your host, Randy Baxter.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the woods, oh how the wind does blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go. Everybody now.
No, that's not a Christmas song. That's a Thanksgiving song. When we gather around the dinner table with family and friends to share good food, warm laughter, and the happy memories of Thanksgiving's past, many families whose loved ones serve in the armed forces this year will be missing. A familiar voice will not be heard, and a chair at the table will remain empty because they have someone far from home serving our country. Today, our members of the Army, Marines, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard, active duty, reserve, and National Guard alike will gather in mess halls or in tents across the globe as friends and comrades to enjoy the traditional Thanksgiving meal. So as those of us who are blessed to be with our families celebrate and give thanks, let us remember in our thoughts and prayers the homes that have an empty chair at the table and also offer a special prayer of thanksgiving and ask God's blessings for the brave men and women of our armed forces whose service and sacrifice will make the world a better and safer place. And a very special prayer for those homes that have an empty chair that will forever remain vacant, and for those servicemen and women who have come back to us, may their sacrifice not have been in vain.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the woods, oh how the wind does blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go. Everybody now.
This week has reminded me, since we just got through Veterans Day, of a story that I read in World War I about Armistice Day and how the German people at the end of World War I felt betrayed because there were no armies on their shore. No one had crossed their border. And they felt like that their military had done a real good job. And they felt like they had been betrayed, although they were bankrupt. And agreed in order to stop the war before the soldiers came across their borders. It put them in a very precarious position, which led to World War II. We're going to be talking about Thanksgivings of the past and maybe even Thanksgivings of the future in a few minutes. But right now, you're listening to The Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we'll be right back.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through.
The Veteran Next Door will return in a moment.
Sun up on a cool, sweet morning. Sausage frying in the pan. Make that sausage always Wamplers. It's the finest in the land. Wamplers, Wamplers, it's great sausage made on the farm in Tennessee. Don't say sausage, just say Wamplers for the best in quality. Make that sausage always Wamplers. It's the best in quality.
Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars by the veterans themselves. The Veteran Next Door. You love the show. Now, get the book. World War II, Volume 1, 1939 to 1946. Read about how our veterans attempted to free children trapped by fascist countries. Learn about the supermen we sent to liberate the world from the crimes of World War II. Stories of Pacific land battles on the land and the sea, battles in Europe, land in the air, survival in the ocean, when a ship sinks and one breaks in half. Soldiers who deserve the Medal of Honor. And read the story of the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, when many soldiers came home and had to deal with a corrupt county government and prove the need for our Second Amendment. Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars. Be sure to get your copy at Amazon.com. The Veteran Next Door, Stories from World War II, Volume 1, 1939 through 1946. Don't miss one word of The Veteran Next Door.
You know, if you already have the book, I hope you're enjoying it. But a lot of people ask me, do they have to order through Amazon.com? Answer is no. You can get it direct from me and have it autographed. All you have to do is call 865-525-2323. Or you can go to my website at www.theveterannextdoor.com. And those are all little letters, no spaces, theveterannextdoor.com. Makes a great gift for birthdays, anniversaries. You know, I get emails from people that said they've bought and read the book and they've learned more about their parents by reading the experience of other people during World War II. I think you'd enjoy it too. So give us a call, 865-525-2323, or order the book online at theveterannextdoor.com.
Energize, detoxify, and hydrate six times faster with Hydrate Alkaline Ionized Water. Hydrate is available at the Veteran Next Door store at 4812 Asheville Highway, or you can call the Veteran Next Door store at 865-525-2323. That's 865-525-2323. Also available at your local Knoxville area Walgreens and Kroger stores. Bottled at the source in Dandridge, Tennessee, this natural spring water and effective antioxidant reduces acid waste, hydrates cells quickly, and tastes delicious. Hydrate is a veteran-owned business and a proud sponsor of the Veteran Next Door. For more information about Hydrate Alkaline Ionized Water and the benefits it provides, and for wholesale and private label options, visit www.historicsprings.com. That's historicsprings.com. Try it today.
Statements not evaluated by the FDA. Norman, do replace your doctor.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Veteran Next Door, and I'm your host, Randy Baxter. When we left, we were talking about how World War I led to World War II. And what I'm about to read you is a sentence that I found in a letter that was written to the mother of a fallen soldier who died at Thanksgiving in 1944. "Ma'am, we slept together in foxholes, and everything we done together. The man who wrote this letter and the man who died were both in the 83rd Division. They had arrived in Omaha Beach 3 weeks after D-Day and had fought at the center of the front, Normandy, Brittany. They liberated Luxembourg, fought in the Ardennes, and the Battle of the Bulge. They were one of the first to enter the Rhineland and to reach the Rhine River. As a unit, they were 244 days in combat. 23,980 casualties, 15,248 in combat. They had a replacement rate of 170.2%, the ninth highest in combat deaths of any divisions in the European War, 3,620. The odds in the 83rd Division were, if you were on the front line, you would not make it home in one piece. The dead soldier was old for an average soldier. He was 31 when he went to war, 31 when he was killed in action. He was 5'7" tall and weighed 139 pounds. No fat whatsoever. When they replaced the 101st in late June, they were so clean looking, even the paint on their helmets looked like it was just unpacked. Weeks later, it rained on their mud-soaked uniforms, fighting in the hedgerows against repeated counterattacks. Then, as they watched from their foxholes, 1,500 heavy bombers, American bombers, followed by 380 medium bombers, 550 fighter bombers, 1,500 yards ahead of them, A lot of their buddies died from short bombing runs. Then came 2 weeks of street fighting in Brittany. They were told there were 6,000 German soldiers in the city. There were 12,000. So he got there in late June. And on October 29th, he wrote home and said, "Mom, I got my first hot bath since arriving. On Thanksgiving Day, I helped with the Thanksgiving preparations. I hope this is my last Thanksgiving away from home. And by the way, thanks, Mom, for the 6 packs of cigarettes." While I was reading that story, I found a poem I think you need to hear. It didn't have a title. It said, "These eyes have seen 1,000 miles. Perhaps they'll see 1,000 more. These eyes have seen 1,000 die. I pray to God to end this hellish war. These eyes have seen the bloody hedgerows in the rain. They've seen the tree burst in the Hurricane, and the lifeless forms half buried in the snow in the slaughter at Bahrain. See it through. The call to victory beckons. See through the mindless death and grinding pain. Damn these eyes, they've seen too much to see it through again." On December 10th, that soldier was killed by an exploding 88-millimeter shell. Not before, though, on Thanksgiving Day, when he saw soldiers stopping for Thanksgiving dinner using a blown-out windowsill as a table in Germany. Not until he saw his fellow soldiers eating after dark, using the hood of their Jeep for a table, and soldiers eating dinner, exhausted while leaning on a blown-out building.
America's Thanksgiving. On November 23, 1944, a few days before America's Thanksgiving holiday, Churchill addresses a concert audience at the Royal Albert Hall. He foresees a time when America's special day of Thanksgiving soon will be celebrated worldwide by people free from the fear of German world domination.
"We have come here tonight to add our celebration to those which are going forward all over the world, wherever Allied troops are fighting, in bivouacs and dugouts, on battlefields, on the high seas, and in the highest air. Always this annual festival has been dear to the hearts of the American people. Always there has been that desire for Thanksgiving, and never, I think, has there been more justification, more compulsive need than now. It is your day of Thanksgiving, and when we feel the truth of the facts which are before us, that in 3 or 4 years the peaceful, peace-loving people of the United States, with all the variety and freedom of their life, in such contrast to the iron discipline which has governed many other communities, when we see that in 3 or 4 years, the United States has in sober fact become the greatest military, naval, and air power in the world? That, I say to you, in this time of war, is in itself a subject for profound thanksgiving. But there is a greater Thanksgiving Day, which still shines ahead, which beckons the bold and the loyal and the warm-hearted. And that is when this union of action, which has been forced upon us by wars against tyranny, which we have maintained during those dark and fearful days, shall become a lasting union of sympathy and feeling and loyalty and hope between all the British and American peoples, wherever they may dwell. Then indeed, there will be a day of thanksgiving, and one in which all the world will share.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to...
Plus, on the other side of the world, in the Pacific, it was also 1944. And for months, the U.S. Marines were surviving on dehydrated eggs, potatoes, milk, K rations, and C rations. But not on Thanksgiving Day. It was turkey. Thanksgivings. The wind blew the stench of bodies from a bloody battlefield on a southern Pacific island. It hadn't been fancy, but it was memorable. The temperature was over 115 degrees on the island of Peleliu, about 500 miles southeast of the Philippines. And all the soldiers were anticipating the big dinner on Thursday. Scuttlebutt was that President Roosevelt had promised that all troops fighting on various fronts would get a turkey dinner this year. How could they keep fresh turkey in the heat? They had never heard of canned turkey, but they were about to. The president lived up to his word. Can you imagine a nation feeding their armies all around the world on the same day? The chow line was unusually long. The soldiers hurried to get in line, and one inadvertently stepped in front of a full colonel and said, "Sorry, sir, I didn't see your emblems." The colonel said, "Stay right where you are, corporal. In combat, we officers eat with the enlisted men, and don't salute me and knock off the sir." The colonel appeared exhausted and needed a shave. His clothes were solid dirt and sweat. Soldier said, "Been up on the ridge, sir?" "How did you guess, corporal?" "More than 500 Marines were killed taking this piece of property. They named it Bloody Nose Ridge and erected a huge white cross on it." The colonel looked like he had been there 2 or 3 days. The soldiers moved slowly along, and the cooks were throwing their food on the plate. One was from 15 yards away, throwing the bread and hitting every plate. Now a soldier, all they had to do was find a place to eat. The corporal spotted an old drum and rushed up to put his food on it. Then he heard someone say, "Got room for another?" And the corporal turned and said, "Sure." It was the colonel. We had to keep one hand constantly moving over our food to keep the flies off. The average house fly was the size of a horse fly. They got this big from feasting on the corpses that lay on the battlefield less than a mile away. One fly got too close to my dinner row, and I took a swat at it. missed and knocked my roll down. As I reached for it, the colonel said, "Remember, no seconds." So I dusted off the sand, and as I chewed it, I could feel the sand crunch, said the corporal, and every bite. "Who cared?" he said. Another fly got close to his coffee and he knocked it in the cup. He picked it out. He looked at the colonel and said, "I know, no seconds." When they finished and parted, the colonel waved to the soldier. "Remember, no salutes." How lucky could one corporal get? The wind shifted. The wind shifted. That awful stench from the rotting bodies arrived. And the soldiers were grateful that they had time to finish their memorable meal. For months, they had survived on dehydrated eggs, potatoes, milk, K rations, and C rations. But hunger knows no shame. They had to eat it or starve. Short time later, the corporal was injured and on the right angle and ordered back to the States. As the plane gained altitude, someone said, "Look, Bloody Nose Ridge." The corporal looked out the window and saw the white cross, then leaned back in his seat and sighed in relief. How lucky could he be? You're listening to The Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter. And we'll be right back.
The Veteran Next Door will return in a moment.
Hello, this is Randy Baxter, the host of the Veteran Next Door radio program. I'm also an advocate for U.S. senior vets. This next announcement is important to our listeners who have a parent or spouse who have served at least one day in the U.S. military during wartime. If this is you, please pay attention to this next announcement.
Do you have a grandparent, a parent, an aunt, an uncle, a sibling, a spouse who is a veteran of our armed forces and represented our country during wartime? The Aid in Attendance Benefit is a little-known Veterans Administration benefit offered to our heroes who fought in our wars. This benefit is also available to spouses of these same veterans. You must qualify for this benefit by submitting an application by meeting the criteria for qualification. For free information helping you find out if you qualify for this benefit, call 865-525-2323. You will receive the basic information to qualify for this benefit as well as the next step procedures for application. Not all veterans qualify, but you need to be sure that you know what this benefit is all about so you will know when that time comes. Many family members may be suffering from the wear and tear and expense of providing services and care to a loved one who qualifies for this economic support. Take the first step. There is no cost to you to find out. Get your free information in the mail. Call 865-525-2323. There is no cost for this information. Just call and you will receive it in the mail. No salesman will call. World War II, Korean, and Vietnam veterans, and even our veterans from the Middle Eastern wars can qualify, but not if you don't take the first step. 525-2323. This service is provided by the sponsors of the Veteran Next Door radio show and is not working in association with the Veterans Administration. This service is free to all veterans.
Seniors Helping Seniors, an in-home service company for seniors by seniors. We offer just the services you need to remain independent and living in your own home. The type of services we provide are companionship, housekeeping, meal preparation, transportation, doctor visits, and much more. We provide these services with other caring and compassionate seniors. When these services are provided by other active seniors who really understand what your life is like as a senior, it can make a big difference. We want to keep you independent. We want to keep you safe. We want to bring a little joy to your life. Call Seniors Helping Seniors In-Home Services today. Find out how we can make a big difference for you or a loved one. Call 865-269-4483. That's 865-269-4483. Seniors Helping Seniors In-Home Services.
These eyes
Welcome back to The Veteran Next Door, and I'm your host, Randy Baxter. So all the soldiers came home, and 1950 came along, and 1950 Thanksgiving Day found us in Korea on the Chosin Reservoir. The average day in Korea in 1950 was like this. Nighttime temperatures, minus 30. Night fell about 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon. And the day broke about 8:30 in the morning. So there was about 8 hours of daylight and 16 hours of night. And at the start of the Thanksgiving battle in 1950, the Communist Chinese forces ruled the night. The Chinese forces had been reported massing on the Yalu River, but nobody was paying much attention to it. But on November 27th, the hills exploded with the sounds of the Chinese attack. They began to surround all the American units. One company, known historically as Fox Company, had been told to hold the Toktone Pass. Officers of many groups were killed, wounded, or missing, and most of the troops had no leadership. Lots of our soldiers were forced out onto the frozen reservoir. The Chinese attacked at night and withdrew in the day, avoiding the American Air Force. One American unit started out with 2,500 soldiers. Before the battle was over, 1,050 survived. 385 were able to fight. When questioned about his retreat, the American commanding officer said that the American troops were surrounded, so there was no rear. They would escape this dilemma by simply attacking in a new direction. He also said, "We've been looking for the enemy for days. Now we have found them. This simplifies our problem of finding and killing these people." And that was Thanksgiving in 1950. We also had a pretty interesting Thanksgiving in 1968. There was a battle going on called Dok To. The rain fell in Vietnam as the southern monsoon made its presence felt all over the countryside. From the rock and rumble strewn hillsides of Dok To to the muddy rice paddies of the Mekong Delta. The wetness pervaded everything, your jungle fatigues, your boots, your sleeping bag, your equipment, and your very spirit. You couldn't escape it. During the noon hours, the sun appeared in a yellow brilliance to transform it all into a steamy moire of tangled trucks, helicopters, wooden buildings, and humanity. And later on, before the next rain, the wind swept in from the west to blow dust and red dirt over everything, as if in an attempt to cover it over. So in the afternoon before Thanksgiving, on November 1968, a major in the United States Army was also a doctor. He was a 34-year-old, fully trained cardiovascular surgeon with a wife and three children back in San Francisco, for whom the draft notice had come directly to operating room number 6 at the University Hospital. The circulating nurse had taken a yellow telegram from the orderly and had announced, "It's a telegram for you, doctor." The doctor looked up from the non-beating heart in which he was suturing a new mitral valve, the only sound in the room, the steady throb of the heart-lung machine. He knew full well what was in that envelope, and he saw it a classic greetings from President Johnson, which said, "Greetings, The doctor had been at the 24th Evacuation Hospital near Benoit since May and was chief of chest and vascular surgery, and after the first 2 weeks of disbelief and homesickness had settled into the routine of over 1,000 casualties a month and an average of 12 major operations a day, nightly mortar attacks, and constant outgoing artillery. He had seen it all: rocket wounds, claymore mine injuries, gunshot wounds to everywhere, punji stick gangrene, and napalm burns. All the doctors thought they were pretty good. They all thought, if you get to the 24th, we'll get you home. The radio crackled in the surgical Quonset. A chopper was bringing in 4 American wounded. Halfway through the doctor's year of service, just 6 months to go, he had finished his morning coffee and headed over to the emergency tent. And in the distance, he heard the helicopter of an evac Huey landing, blowing dust through the open flaps. And shortly thereafter, the litters were brought in by corpsmen and placed on individual tables, and the triage began. None of the wounded, all GIs, made a sound. 4 teams of nurses, doctors, and corpsmen went to work, cutting off clothes, drawing blood, starting IVs, and assessing priorities. The doctor was summoned almost immediately to attend the most recent and urgent of those casualties, a young man, age 21, who had been in country for just a week, and while training with live hand grenades from a pit trench with several of his company, a soldier 2 down from him had dropped a grenade in the pit, and everyone froze. They were too green to know that they had 4 seconds to pick it up and throw it, and too frightened to move. The resulting explosion killed 4 and severely wounded this soldier. And the initial rapid assessment was difficult because he was covered with mud, his uniform was torn, and blood was everywhere. It was obvious he needed a quick trip to the OR to live. 4 hours later, with the combined talents of the A-team, anesthesiologist, ophthalmologist, orthopedist, neurosurgeon, and the current surgeon, this soldier entered the recovery room, swathed in bandages from head to his knees. This once handsome high school athlete from Cumberland, Rhode Island, had been saved, but reduced to 1 arm, no legs, no eyes, and a profusion of tubes and wires going in and out, and painful incisions in his abdomen and left chest. The angels of mercy, the Army Nurse Corps, surrounded him with love and care. And as the afternoon turned into evening and the evening into night, casualties kept on coming in from action near Chulai and Dock Tow, and we operated until they slacked off about noon on Thanksgiving Day. In the mess hall, turkey with all the trimmings was laid out in grand style, but the doctors were too tired to eat. They went back and made rounds on the dozen or so kids that they had operated upon over those last 24 hours and made a special stop to see the wounded soldier. One doctor had to tell him that he would never see again, and that walking would be very, very difficult. He never asked, "Why did you let me live?" In the weeks that followed, this soldier required several more operations and incredible amounts of daily care to survive. He endured pain most men could not understand, all in the inky blackness of his sightlessness. The doctors became quite close with the soldier. Indeed, he became bonded to all in the hospital and dependent on all the doctors. The doctors became his big brothers and his father. The doctors were there when the general pinned the Purple Heart on his pillow. And when it was finally safe for him to make the 6,000-mile journey to the 249th Field Hospital in Tokyo, the commander allowed the surgical doctor to accompany him. They made their farewells on January 5th, 1969, and the doctor returned to finish his tour. And when he came home to a strange country that did not understand where he had been or what he had done, much less why we were still doing it, the doctor visited the Vietnam Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C. He was shocked to look up and on panel 34W, line 47, ground casualty, died, accidental self-destruction, January 21, 1969. This impersonal epitaph referred to the drop grenade but could not penetrate the subsequent suffering and unexpected death in the final safety of the 249th General. The doctor ran his fingers across his name engraved in code black. It was the same name as the soldier he had worked on. What could have happened? An infection? A blood clot to the lungs? The doctor wondered if he had missed something, some hidden fragment that became a catastrophe. Again, the tears came, and this time enough for everyone. He turned to his wife and said, "Maybe that was the best ending there could have been for him. I just don't know." You're listening to The Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we'll be right back.
Veteran Next Door will return in a moment.
Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars by the veterans themselves. The Veteran Next Door. You love the show. Now get the book. World War II, Volume 1, 1939 to 1946. Read about how our veterans attempted to free children trapped by fascist countries. Learn about the supermen we sent to liberate the world from the crimes of World War II. Stories of Pacific land battles on the land and the sea, battles in Europe, land in the air, survival in the ocean, when a ship sinks and one breaks in half. Soldiers who deserve the Medal of Honor. And read the story of the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, when many soldiers came home and had to deal with a corrupt county government and prove the need for our Second Amendment. Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars. Be sure to get your copy at Amazon.com. The Veteran Next Door, Stories from World War II, Volume 1, 1939 through 1946. Don't miss one word of The Veteran Next Door.
You know, if you already have the book, I hope you're enjoying it. But a lot of people ask me, do they have to order through Amazon.com? Answer is no. You can get it direct from me and have it autographed. All you have to do is call 865-525-2323. Or you can go to my website at www.theveterannextdoor.com. And those are all little letters, no spaces, theveterannextdoor.com. Makes a great gift for birthdays, anniversaries. I get emails from people that said they've bought and read the book and they've learned more about their parents by reading the experience of other people during World War II. I think you'd enjoy it too. So give us a call, 865-525-2323, or order the book online at theveterannextdoor.com.
Sun up on a cool, sweet morning. Sausage frying in the pan. Make that sausage always Wamplers. It's the finest in the land. Wamplers, Wamplers, it's great sausage made on the farm in Tennessee. Don't say sausage, just say Wamplers for the best in quality. Make that sausage always Wamplers. It's the best in quality.
Now back to The Veteran Next Door.
And now we have Thanksgiving Day, in Afghanistan. If he were back home this coming Thursday, a certain Marine Lance Corporal would have eaten turkey and ham at the home of one of his sets of grandparents in Tennessee. If it was his father's side of the family, they'd go deer hunting after dinner, then come home and eat some more. If he was back home in New York City, this PFC would be visiting his family in three boroughs and eating a lot of shredded turkey and his aunt's flan, a type of custard dessert. He'd be going from house to house getting food. It would start in Brooklyn, and then to the Bronx, to Queens, and then back to Brooklyn. Being deployed with 14 other Marines, this Lance Corporal would be at his Uncle Wade's house in Messick, Michigan, chowing down with 50 other members of his clan. They'd be watching the Dallas Cowboys play. That's his wife's team. And eating some green beans with bacon, ham, and stuffing. And just chilling out. Thoughts would inevitably turn to home this Thursday for all Marines and the thousands of other U.S. troops overseas on such a family-focused holiday. It's a day for which it's difficult to be away. Most feel like it's even harder than being away for Christmas. "It stinks," said one soldier. "On Thanksgiving, I don't even go to my Facebook." Still, Marines make do. Thanksgiving Thursday is a half day of work in Afghanistan, and everyone's off on Friday, so Thanksgiving synced well with the training schedule. The contractors in charge of the chow hall pulled out all the stops, and the Marines, Italian and Polish troops were treated to a gut-busting lunch. There was turkey, disc of pre-formed sausage and stuffing concoction, as well as mashed potatoes, but there was also grilled lobster and steaks. Before supper, there will be an officer who oversees the base reiterating the story of the Pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving in 1621 for the non-Americans in attendance. They won't have the venison or the wild fowl, but they will have the turkey. The Marines will be thankful for the things most people appreciate: family, friends, and good health. Most will feel lucky if they got a good deployment. And though they may be missing from the honeyed ham at their grandparents' house in Alabama, they still know this is a day of thanks. They're thankful to be here just for the experience and doing something most people don't do. You're listening to The Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we'll be right back.
The Veteran Next Door will return in a moment.
Energize, detoxify, and hydrate six times faster with Hydrate Alkaline Ionized Water. Hydrate is available at the Veteran Next Door store at 4812 Asheville Highway, or you can call the Veteran Next Door store at 865-525-2323. That's 865-525-2323. Also available at your local Knoxville area Walgreens and Kroger stores. Bottled at the source in Dandridge, Tennessee, this natural spring water and effective antioxidant reduces acid waste, hydrates cells quickly, and tastes delicious. Hydrate is a veteran-owned business and a proud sponsor of the Veteran Next Door. For more information about Hydrate Alkaline Ionized Water and the benefits it provides, and for wholesale and private label options, visit www.historicsprings.com. That's historicsprings.com. Try it today.
Statement not evaluated by the FDA. Norman, do replace your doctor.
Now back to the Veteran Next Door.
Thank you, Pat, and good morning, everyone. You know, the Statue of Liberty and this wonderful holiday called Thanksgiving go together naturally because, although as Americans we have many things for which to be thankful, none is more important than our liberty. Liberty, that quality of government, that brightness of mind and spirit for which the Pilgrim Fathers braved the seas and Americans through two centuries have laid down their lives. Today, while religion is suppressed in perhaps one-third of the world, we Americans are free to worship the Almighty as we choose. While entire nations must endure the yoke of tyranny, we are free to speak our minds, to enjoy an unfettered and vigorous press, and to make government abide by the limits we deem just. While millions live behind walls, we remain free to travel throughout the land, to share this precious day with those we love most deeply, the members of our families. My fellow Americans, let us keep this Thanksgiving Day sacred. Let us thank God for the bounty and goodness of our nation. And as a measure of our gratitude, let us rededicate ourselves to the preservation of this, the land of the free, and the home of the brave. From the Reagan family to your family, happy Thanksgiving and God bless you all.
All through history, our soldiers have been away on Thanksgiving Day. Might have been over the Rhine River and through the woods to Berlin. Might have been over the river and through the woods to the Chosen Reservoir. And of course we can't forget over the river and through the woods, over the Mekong River and through the woods. And a lot of our soldiers today have even gone over the Tigris and Euphrates River and into the woods. Soldiers in Afghanistan, they don't have a lot of rivers. I guess they're over the mountain and into the woods. But it doesn't matter. All soldiers feel the same. All through time when we send our soldiers out to fight, they do want to go over the river, through the woods, to Grandma's house when it's over. Have a happy Thanksgiving. You're listening to The Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter. We'll see you next week.